I love that song, don't you? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll read verses 46 and 47. This morning I'm going to talk to you about a very important subject to all of us, and that's the subject of faith. Faith. In fact, before we read the scripture verse for the sermon, I'm going to turn over to the Hall of Fame chapter in God's Word in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses from that before we read our scripture verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I'm skipping over then to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Then I'm going to skip over to chapter 12 and verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for Jesus. Now to our scripture text on this subject, how to crack the faith barrier. 1 Samuel 1, 17, 46 and 47. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. By the way, we're reading the words of one of these men that's in God's Hall of Fame. We're reading the words of David. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. What a great statement of faith, by faith, of the young man David. In World War II, the fighter pilots were flying these high-performance propeller-driven airplanes. A lot of times when they would go into a dive bomb, They would pick up so much speed that they would come right to the edge of the sound barrier. As they would do that, the plane would become very erratic. It would be really difficult to control it. The vibration would be tremendous. All the air in the front of the plane would become or seem like a wall. And it wasn't until Chuck Yeager and the Bell X-1, that was his plane, the Bell X-1, pushed through the sound barrier that we really understood what was happening. In fact, look at this next image with me on PowerPoint. That's Chuck Yeager in front of the Bell X-1, but he named the Bell X-1, he named it, you can see it up there, the Glorious Glennis, because that was his wife, his sweetheart. He had a saying that any plane he named after his wife, he knew would always bring him safely home, and it did. Well, when his plane began to reach the sound barrier, once there again was this tremendous turbulence in front of that plane. And even one of the instruments broke as he was going through the sound barrier in that plane. But when he pushed through, all of a sudden, there was a serene peace inside the cockpit of that plane. It was perfectly quiet and peaceful. And all the turbulence had shifted into the rear of the plane. In a very real way, that is what happens to you and me when we crack through that barrier known as the faith barrier. Amen. Because when we crack through it, there is a supernatural peace, there is a supernatural presence, and we have an assurance in that quiet, still moment that God is with us. There really is a barrier. There's a barrier to living in the kind of faith that God talks about, that we talk about, that we read about in His Word, in the Holy Bible. That barrier that I'm speaking of is consistent. It's always there. And the barrier is the human viewpoint or the human perspective to things. Look at this definition with me on PowerPoint. The human viewpoint means to look at the difficulties of life through the limitations of your human abilities. That means when we see a problem, we see a thing going on, we tend to always just rely on what we know, and that is our human senses, so to speak. But now, the divine viewpoint, look at this next PowerPoint. The divine viewpoint means to look at life and its challenges through whose ability? God's ability and His power to work through you. The important thing is to learn this morning. We are to live by faith and not by our understanding, not by what we see, not by sight. Amen. The Word's very clear on that. Problem is this. From the time we were born, we learn to relate to everything in life through our natural senses, through our realities, through what we see and hear and touch and taste and smell. All those things, that becomes our realities. But when we're born into the family of God by a spiritual rebirth, by a work of the Holy Spirit, we're born into that family of God, we enter into a new possibility. We enter into a new realm. We enter into a new viewpoint. It's the heavenly viewpoint. It's the spiritual viewpoint. It's the divine viewpoint. And its reality is not based on anything we see or understand. It's based upon what God says to us. That becomes our reality. What has God said to you? God wants all of us to crack through that faith barrier to where we are living in the light of what God has said. We're living in the light of His promises in His Word to you and to me. And when we do that, then we're no longer limited to only considering the human perspective or the human ability to cope with things. That's the problem we get into as believers. We fall into the trap of always relying on what we can figure out or think about or do in our ability rather than saying, Lord, it's up to You through me. So back in the days of Israel, there was a young boy named David. And David was just a shepherd boy, and his father had called him to take some food and supplies to his brothers who were fighting in Israel's army against the Philistines. So David left his sheep, and he left him with another keeper. He was really excited to go and see where the battle was going to take place or where all the men were, and he took the food there to his brothers, and he gets to the battlefield, and he sees both armies of the Philistines and the army of Israel on opposite sides of a great hill with a big valley down between them. And he's shocked when he sees this 9'6" man named Goliath. And he is defying the whole army of Israel. And he's cursing all of Israel by his gods. Well, David's amazed when he realizes that there's not a single soldier in the Israeli army who's up to the challenge. Even though there had been some very valiant men in the army, but on this day, none of them would step forth. So in 1 Samuel 17 and 26, we read that David asked the men standing there with him, what would be done? What would happen to the man who would go out and face this Philistine and remove this disgrace from Israel? The words that David used. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, he asked, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Well, let me tell you, right away, when David just asked that question, we learn right away, this fellow's got a different perspective, doesn't he? He's got a different viewpoint altogether. He's got a divine perspective. David saw this situation not through human limitations, not being able to defeat a 9-foot-plus-tall giant, he didn't look at it that way at all. He saw it through the eyes of what that giant had done. Because that giant had defied the armies of Israel and the faith that God had put in his heart. David says, we can't have that. We can't allow that. David's older brother, the Bible says his older brother Eliab heard him say this and he got real angry. I want to tell you, when you make the decision to start looking at everything through the divine viewpoint, through heaven's perspective, you're even going to have some fellow believers that will begin to contest with you just a little bit. But in order to crack this faith barrier, we got to get over and beyond what our human senses, what's our heart and our feelings and our mind. We've got to get past all of that. We've got to look at the promises of God and what He has said to you and to me. Because He's given us incredible promises, hasn't He? Well, what David had said to his brother, it got around in the camp. First thing you know, it gets back to King Saul. And so he sends for David to come to him. And David comes to the king. Now, can you imagine this? Here's a young boy, maybe 14, 15 years old. We're not sure how old he is. And he's called into the presence of the king of all of Israel. And he says to the king, it's recorded in the Bible, he says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Wow, that's the power of God in David speaking that right there. And so Saul, he's still looking at it through the human viewpoint, isn't he? He looks at David, he says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You can't do this. You're just a boy, and he's a man. He's a huge man, and he's been fighting for years since his youth. You don't have a chance. But see, that's the human viewpoint. But I'm going to tell you, there was something in David, that God had been developing in this young boy. He had been developing in him when he was out tending to the sheep, all by himself when he was alone. God had developed in this young boy, David, the idea that being a shepherd and taking care of his father's sheep was something that God had appointed him to do. Did you hear that? The menial task that was at hand for him at that season in his life, that menial task of looking after the flock for his father, David saw that as a divine appointment from God. I'm going to tell you, when you look at your life and the season of life, and you look at it as a divine appointment of God, it'll totally change your perspective of your everyday of what you're doing. So David responds to King Saul. He says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine was going to be just like one of them because he's defied the armies of the living God. Now that is a statement of faith, isn't it? Praise God. Can you imagine? He's saying, I took the lion and the bear by the hair and the sword, and I took care of them. Now here's a young boy, not fully grown and developed, saying this. Folks, you understand, a grown, strong man could barely fight a lion with a sword or a bear with his bare hands and a sword. Did you hear what David said, though? He was speaking. His words were speaking evidence that God had been with him. And he understood that. He had learned a great lesson from all these experiences out in the wilderness. And in his mind, he's just performing the will of God. And if you're doing the will of God, you know he's going to help you. Amen. He knew that he could depend on God. He could depend that God was going to fight through him. That God was going to give him the ability to do the impossible. Oh, hear this morning. When that lion, that bear came to took off a lamb from his flock, they would just immediately go after them, claiming the promises of God, that God was on his side and that God's power and strength would help him defeat the enemy. And he did every time, didn't he? What he did What he did was take his experience of knowing God as his Father. It was a personal relationship. He knew God intimately as his Father. And he also knew the experience of letting the Lord and the power of God through faith work through him to kill that lion and that bear and to put those two together. God is my Father, and he's seen me through in the past. He's going to see me through now. And he gave this answer. He said, God will deal with Goliath just as he did with the lion and the bear because he's my Father. Can I tell you, he's your Father today. Hallelujah. He's your Father. He's with you today. You are not alone. God is with you. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know he's our Father today. The Lord who delivered him from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, was going to deliver him from the hand of that Philistine. And David knew it. He took that experience of God being faithful in the past and saying, God, I know you've done it for me in the past, and I know you're going to do it for me now. Can you look back on your past today? Can you look back on those moments that God was there for you? Can you look back on those moments where you knew there's no way you would have gone through what you were going through if God hadn't been there for you? You know that the victory came because God was with you. You know that you went through it and had victory because Jesus was there. You look back on your past and you remember those moments and you remember those times and you say, God, you've been faithful. Give me the faith to trust you today for this need, for victory in this issue of my life. David had cracked through that faith barrier because he had the right perspective. He had the divine perspective, the divine viewpoint. He didn't see that giant Goliath just through his human ability. He saw that giant through God's ability to cope with him. We've got to start looking at all of our problems through our ability. We've got to start looking at all of our problems through God's ability to cope with every situation and to meet the need. David saw in this warrior, Goliath, this giant, he saw somebody that was insulting the God of Israel. And he knew the God of Israel would defend anyone who would dare go out and stand up for the name of the Lord. David knew that in his heart. And when he did that, when he took that step, that Philistine soldier, that giant, Goliath, was as good as dead. David, no doubt, was very persuasive, I believe, that day when he had that conversation with King Saul. I think he was very persuasive because he was so full of the Spirit of God and the power of God in him. He let his faith, I believe it just shone through as he talked to that king. Because the king that was saying, you ain't got a chance, this guy's going to destroy you. After David got through persuading the king, so to speak, you know what the king said? He said, go and the Lord be with you. Oh, what beautiful words. Go and the Lord be with you. I love that. What a picture we have here. You got the whole army of Israel. The whole army cowering down in their trenches. And here's a young shepherd boy with only one thing, and that is he had conquered the faith barrier. He had faith that God was with him, and the victory was his because of that faith. The faith barrier had been cracked, hadn't it? Oh, it's beautiful. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. He was now living by faith, which is the ability to act in the light of the unseen. The ability to believe God's promises are so real that God's promises become our reality. Let that just sink in a minute. Let God's promises become your reality today. Well, the Bible says that King Saul wanted to help David out. He said, come over here, son. I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to give you my tunic. I'm going to give you my armor. I'm going to give you my helmet. I'm going to give you this spear that weighs 30 pounds or some ridiculous amount. I'm going to give you this massive sword. And you're going to, boy, here you go. I'm fixing you all up. You see, King Saul thought he was helping him, didn't he? But King Saul was still responding only in the human perspective, not the spiritual perspective. So David, you know, he put all this stuff on David, and he's trying to be polite to the king, and it says he walked around. He said, I can't do this. I'm not used to all this. When you step out in the divine perspective, when you have the divine viewpoint, somebody's always going to come around and try to help you to put you back over into the human perspective. Resist that. Walk away from that. Continue on what you know God has placed in your heart. David did. He responded to the king. He says, I can't go out in these. I'm not used to this. So he took them off. He took them off. The Bible says that David walked out onto that valley to face that giant. He had nothing but a staff. That's the little staff that a shepherd has in one hand. And five smooth stones that he took from the stream. He put them in his little shepherd's bag. And he walked out there with that slingshot and a staff. And here's this giant with all his armor and his sword and his spear. And he's big and he's huge and he's roaring. And here's this young boy walking up to meet him. By the way, you know that five smooth stones. I'll get it out. Those are hard to say. Those five smooth stones. Somebody said, why did he take five? He only needed one. Didn't he have faith? Well, some folks say that Goliath had four brothers and David took five stones because he figured once he got through taking care of Goliath, he's going to take care of his four brothers too. And that was faith, wasn't it? He was out there to take care of the whole family if he needed to. He wouldn't worry about it. God was with him. Well, meanwhile, this big Philistine, the Bible says this big giant, the Philistine, he's out there and he's even got his shield bearer out in front of him, so to speak. And he kept coming closer and closer. Don't you know when he looked down and saw David out there with that staff and that slingshot, he saw a little boy out there, a little 14, 15-year-old boy. And you know he had to just be start laughing in his mind, in his heart, thinking, what in the world? In fact, the Bible says, he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? He saw that staff. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And he's laughing. He's mocking him. The Bible says the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And then he says, come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the field. He's ready to take care of David, wasn't he? He thought he was. David said to the Philistine, look at this next PowerPoint with me. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will hand over to you, to me, and I will strike you down and cut you off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. What faith this young man had. Amen. Oh, what faith he had. That today they will know there's a God in Israel. I'm not coming to you with anything, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord Almighty. I'm trusting in Him. He's with me. He's on my side. You haven't got a chance, giant. He didn't say that, but that's the truth, wasn't it? Now, there are some those to me, I read those words. Those are some of the greatest statements and confessions of faith from the divine perspective that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. What an incredible example for us. He's saying those things by faith. He'd never killed a giant. He's saying those things by faith because he knew that one man with God is a majority. That's still true today. One man with God is a majority. But when he makes those statements, we know he wasn't just talking about some fairy tale. It was real. It really happened. God still does these same things today. He does it to those that will call upon Him, that will believe in His promises. That's what we're going to need in this world today, by the way. We need folks that will call upon God and believe in His promises. We need that for the world. We need that for the United States of America. Folks that will call on God and say, I'm going to trust nothing in this world. I'm trusting in God and God alone. He's going to be with me no matter what happens, even in our own nation. They see the world just crumbling, and as we get closer and closer to that event, that blessed event of the return of Christ. We see our own nation seemingly crumbling apart at our own feet. Almost day by day, we have to just stop and say, but the God of heaven, my Savior is with me. No matter what happens, I'm coming through this because God is with me in this, no matter what. Well, the whole issue of David going against Goliath is this. The whole known world was going to know that there was a one true God, and that was the God of Israel. That God was going to act. God was going to go out and help this young man because this young man was willing to defend the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God is going to act when one of his children, when you and I go out against all the odds, and we believe his promises, and we take a stand on those promises, and we take a stand in the name of the Lord, God is going to act on our behalf. David understood that by faith. Look at these next words that he said on the PowerPoint. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is who? Say it with me. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Say it with me again. For the battle is the Lord's. Oh, help us remember that today. It's not our battle. For the battle is the Lord's. What a great statement of faith. That's the divine viewpoint, folks. That's the divine perspective. The battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's not yours. If we believe in him, he will fight through us. If we just trust him. So, why do we think that matters, by the way, that the battle is the Lord's? Because when we believe his promises, when we believe his promises, we go into the realm of the supernatural. Isn't that correct? When we believe the promises of God, we go from the human perspective into the realm of the supernatural. And it becomes a reality that is unseen from the human perspective, that is only seen in the eyes of the Spirit, from the spiritual, divine, heavenly perspective. Oh, and that faith is based on the fact that God himself is working through us. Let that just sink in a minute. Our Father is working through us. He loves us. He wants to work through us as we claim his promises and step out in faith. Well, the Bible story tells us that Philistine moved closer to David to attack him. It says that David quickly ran to the battle line to meet him. He reached in his bag and he took one stone. He put it into a sling. He let it fly and it hit the Philistine in the forehead. The Bible says the stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. The Spirit and the power of the living God was behind that stone. Let me say it again. The Spirit and the power of the living God was behind that stone, and he's made certain it hit its mark. And it did. And the Bible says these words, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. So let me just ask you today, what's the real meaning of this example in the Word of God? Well, let me just ask you another question then. What's the giant in your life today? What are the giants in your life today? Is your giant a financial concern? Is it a severe illness or a medical problem? Is your giant living in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow, or fear for the future? Is your giant a son or a daughter turning away from the faith that you've tried to put into their hearts and they're walking away from it, leaving behind serving God? Is your giant a grandchild that's straying off into drugs and everything that could destroy their lives? Is your giant a terrible family dispute with lots of anger and hurt and misunderstanding? I don't know what your giant is today. I don't know. But I do know this. I know that when you step out and you begin to have the divine viewpoint, when you begin to have the heavenly perspective, when you begin to know that God is with you and His promises are true, you're going to crack through that faith barrier. You're going to leave behind all the old way of looking at things, because you're going to say, I belong to God. He is my Father. He cannot lie. I'm trusting in His Word. I'm trusting in His promises. He is with me. Hallelujah. He's with you now. He's with you today. Take whatever that giant may be. Quit looking at it through the world's perspective. Quit looking at it through the human perspective. Start looking at it through God's ability and His power to work through you. By faith, victory is ahead. There's no song that says that, doesn't it? Victory ahead, victory ahead. I tell you, victory is ahead because faith is the victory. That's another great song. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. It's God's power working through us. And when we understand that, and we hold on to that faith and that promise, I'm going to tell you, the giant's going to be defeated. You're going to have victory. We must stop basing our reality. We must stop basing our realities on just what our five senses and what our human nature tells us, looking at our own limited abilities. We must learn that God Himself will take a hold of us and work through us. He wants to. He's just waiting for us to quit trying to do it all and just to say, here I am, God. I'm nothing, but with Your hand on me and Your power in me and Your promises in my life, I know You're coming through for me to accomplish this thing, to defeat the enemy. You know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Over 7,000. They're to be used in this life, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to need them. We're going to be with God. So let's use them up all we can. Well, you can't use them up. Let's just keep using every one of the promises of God in this life to help us get through. The promises that He gives us are to cover any problem that we're dealing with. God acts when His people believe in Him. God acts when we begin to praise Him, even in the midst of the crisis, even in the face of the giant that we face. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I'm reading what's called the Free Translation. Stop being anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at this next PowerPoint with me in this scripture, on these words. There is incredible power in faith. Not just ordinary faith, but Holy Spirit-inspired faith in our God, who is still in the business of saving and delivering and healing and guiding and working miracles in the lives of those whose hope is in Him. Amen. Praise God. Do you believe that today? Is that in your heart today? Praise God. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to look at this next PowerPoint with me. And I want us to say all these words together. I want you to say these out loud with me. I know the Lord can't lie, and I'm going to believe the words of His promise. I stand on His word. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? The battle is the Lord's. Some of the greatest stress in our lives comes through our emotions. But this morning, I'm ready to believe God to allow His peace, to allow His presence, to allow His promises to give you that calmness in your heart and in your spirit, so that you can just completely be at rest. You'll be just like Chuck Yeager when they broke through that sound barrier from all that stress and vibration and everything that was in front. Suddenly there was just peace and quiet and a beautiful calm. The same thing happens to us. We break through that faith barrier. All the distortion, all the stuff of life can just become a complete calm. And it'll change your life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I just pray right now that the power of the Holy Spirit is reaching down and touching hearts and lives and giving hope and giving faith and giving a vision of victory this morning. God, we need that vision of victory. We need that understanding that we can look ahead and see victory is ours because you are with us. God, help us in our spirits to get off of the human fleshly ability and look at it from your perspective that you are our Father and you are indeed with us today. Father, by your power and by your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name.